Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, he endureth forever. We sang that song tonight. Do you know that the songs we sing in a worship service can transpire things into our own lives? The words go, he's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. He's telling the lame, get out of your bed. He's setting captives free. He's loosening ankles that are tight. You see, because he endureth forever, the same God that was healing and releasing and changing situations way back in the Old Testament is the same God who is still making changes in your life and in my life. He endureth forever. And because of that, he's working in our lives on a daily basis. Two scriptures quick, and then you may be seated. Thank you for this opportunity to minister. I consider it an honor, and I take it serious. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He spoke them into existence. He didn't need something to exist so he could use it to build something. He spoke and it happened. And he can do the same in your life and in my life. And I would just ask, is there anybody in here tonight that needs the Lord to speak into your life for a situation? You've come to the right place. Amen. In the name of Jesus, you may be seated. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Pastor alluded to this Sunday morning, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And how can we do that? Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We get our strength by looking unto Jesus. This is not a rebuke. There are people that are joining us tonight via the airwaves. If you are joining us on YouTube, welcome to Apostolic Faith Church. There are people who can't make it because of situations in their lives. But if I could just admonish and say, if there are those that don't come to this place because it would be easier to stay home and watch it from there. Not a rebuke, an admonishing that in this place, when we gather together and worship corporately and hear the word of God preached and are with our brothers and sisters, we see Jesus in a different realm than we do from our living room. I remember watching the messages preached during the COVID shutdown. I was thankful that the men of God stood behind this sacred desk and brought forth the word of God. But there are things in my household that are not distracting me when I'm here. Well, I'm hearing that, but I'm just going to... Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That word looking means it's pronounced ephorio, or to consider intentively, to look, to turn eyes away from other things and fix them on something else. Jesus. Your eyes aren't looking here and looking there, but you're focused on Jesus. We come in this place, we are focused on Jesus. And then his spirit starts moving in between us and sweeping and touching and changing and ministering. And there's angels here. We can't see them, but they are here. Thus saith the word of the Lord. So it's to turn our eyes away from other things and fix them on something. That word author means a chief leader, an author, a captain, a prince, one that takes the lead in anything and thus affords an example, a predecessor in a matter, a pioneer. Thus he becomes the author. He is the pioneer of our faith. And everything that we read of Jesus in the scriptures is a great example to look to and to follow. The author and finisher, that word finisher means a completer, a consummator, a perfecter, one who has in his own person raised faith to its perfection and so set before us the highest example of faith. Set it before us. So it makes sense then that if he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, then he is the one who has begun a good work in us and will be faithful to complete it. Thus the author and finisher of our faith, but let's not forget the latter part of that verse, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, meaning thinking little or nothing about it, because he had a bigger purpose in mind, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured. That means to undergo or bear trials, to have fortitude, to persevere, to abide, to endure, and bear bravely and calmly ill treatments. Hold fast to one's faith. You see, there are times in this walk with God that we'll have to endure some challenges. And some of them may be extremely hard. But what comes to pass on the other side will be so very powerful. It's a trying, if you will. It's a period of perfecting. I remember One time early in my walk with God, I just had moved down here, and there were a lot of changes that went on in my life, and I was feeling a lot of pressures, and I got up early that morning, and Lord, I need to hear from you. And I was kneeling at that love seat in our living room, which was my altar back then, and these are the words the Lord spoke to me. The most important element in the refining process is pressure. That's all he said. Comforting words? Well, what they told me was that he was doing something in my life. He was refining and preparing. And as long as I knew that he knew me enough to speak to my heart, that he was involved in the process, and I was going to be okay coming out the other end. Now watch. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So if he's our example and he is in us, then we too can overcome and bear any trial that is set before us. And so he was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, and look at, full of grace and truth. Could I tell you tonight that when the Lord Jesus Christ intercepted and walked into our life, we got a double portion. Because the Lord stepped in, took up residency in here, and at the same time ushered into our lives, living inside of us, truth and grace. And so every situation that we go through, it doesn't mean that it's going to be an easy one, but it tells me that the grace of God is going to help us endure it and come out on the other side. And the truth of God is what allows us to be able to focus on what really is going to help us in a situation, in a trial, in a need, in a mountain that perhaps we face. So that word dwelt among us, that word dwelt actually means tabernacled. He tabernacled among us. When I think of the tabernacle, I think of the tabernacle in the wilderness, of course, and I don't think of just man's approach to God, which it represents, brazen altar, brazen laver, holy place, holiest of holies, death, burial, resurrection. Jesus was the perfect example. But what I think about is the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. And he tabernacled with us. He's in us. So wherever we go, the fire, the cloud, it's our strength, a double portion. The Lord has not asked us to do something that his grace and his truth will not take us through. And because of that, watch, Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, and Pastor made mention of this Sunday, so I know by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Jacob, and we're going to go there, but by faith, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses that we rub shoulders with on a weekly basis in this place. By faith, Brother Fitch, God raised him from the dead. By faith, Sister Schumacher, who was sick and ailing, God healed her. By faith, an ankle that the doctor said, we saw the videos or the pictures. It gets better. By faith, my wife healed of cancer. By faith, Brother Jerry Showman sits here tonight. It could, and it goes on and on and on. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Thank God that we have the examples to go to in the Word of God. But see, we got a double portion. And not only do we have this to go to, but we have each other to look at and to see what God is doing in the lives of his family and his people. Watch now. Wherefore, seeing. That word seeing means the act of seeing someone or something. In the realm of astronomy, it's the quality of observed images as determined by atmospheric conditions. If it's true in the natural, it's true in the spiritual. And if it's true in the spiritual, it's true in the natural. So conditions and pressures in what we see, if we walk out this door and see the stars and the moon and everything that the Lord hung there, the skies can show us things that are caused by conditions and pressures. That'd preach. And so too can the Lord show us in our lives, in your life, in my life, things that come to pass and that can be seen because of challenges and pressures perhaps that come into our lives. We are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us or thwart us or surround us. And let us run with patience the race. That word race is a contest or an effort or anxiety or conflict or fight or race that is set before us. Our steps are ordered by the Lord. And if he is Lord of all, then he's Lord of that thing that's in front of us. And he can take care of it. He is the one that has allowed for it to be there. And he's the answer. We just have to, like I started, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. He's our answer. He's always been the answer. And he will always be the answer. When the calamities that are going on in this world continue to get louder and louder, there's so many voices that want to speak to you and tell you that this will help your situation and that will change your... When look to Jesus, looking to Jesus, how do we look to him? We're in his word. We're speaking to him, compassed about, surrounded. The nation of Israel was compassed by the cloud of fire and the pillar of the cloud. It was always with them. And don't think for a second that their enemies who lived in the mountains around them didn't see what was going on with the nation of Israel and realized there's something going on down there, like that one guy told you, Brother Portman, that young man. He said, man, you guys are lit. And don't think they weren't thinking the ones in the wilderness were lit when they saw that pillar of fire. And you see, here's what you have to remember. Maybe you can't see it, and maybe they can't see it. But when you walk in this world, when you walk among your afflictions and your challenges, the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud are with you. We can do all things. And God has chosen us for this time. You know, in the Valley of Goshen, Scripture says there was the plague of darkness. It was a darkness that you could feel. Sounds like the world today to me. And there was no light. But the Bible says that the dwelling places of the Israelites had light in them. And so too do you and I in this world of darkness. The light of God burns in us. But we need to be here. We need to recharge. We need to fill with oil and keep the fire burning. And that's why the scriptures tell us not to forsake the assembling. We hear this so much, and we should hear it so much more because we are in that time. That day is approaching. The darkness is wanting to swallow this world. And we have the answers. The race that is set before us, compassed about. I'm reminded of 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, verses 15 through 17. This is Elisha. Remember Elisha? He got a double portion. He was obedient to the instruction of God and the man of God, and he saw eye to eye with the prophet Elijah before he was taken. He asked for a double portion. And remember when he took the mantle and smote the waters, and they divided. So, in verse 15, there is a servant of the man of God who, notice, he rose up early and went forth. If you put the time in and rise up early and take those steps towards God, I promise he'll show you some things. And he saw a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. Imagine his eyeballs. And he said to Elisha, "My master, how shall we do?" And he answered and said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." He spoke to the man of God, or he spoke to the master, and the Bible says he answered. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher, I promise you, if you talk to the master, he'll answer. He'll show you things. The man of God told him, "Fear not, And then he prayed a prayer for God to open the eyes of my servant. And God honored that prayer. And he opened his eyes. And the Bible says the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Brother Portman read the scripture tonight. You know what happened? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy, a double portion. Grace and truth stepped into our lives and give us the ability to go through those things that are set before us. How many times does the Bible refer to mountains? How many songs do we sing that speak about mountains, moving mountains, climbing mountains? And that is what problems and challenges in your life and my life can look like to us. But we know the one that in Matthew 21 and 21 says, speak unto the mountain and say, be thou removed. Why? Because the same one who encompassed his people, who showed himself strong on their behalf over and over and over again, is the same one who works in our lives. It was a couple Sundays ago. As a matter of fact, it was the Sunday that Brother Mackey was supposed to be here. God orchestrated exactly what was supposed to happen here. It was a powerful day in the Lord. Awesome services. Facing a mountain of my own. But you know, we all have mountains we face. Every one of us. You fill in the blank. Sickness. Family. Financial, on and on and on. But they can appear in our lives as mountains when we don't know which way to go. And that's where I was back then. And you know what? I'm still there. But it's okay. Because I know the one who's in charge of the mountains. And here's what he spoke to me way back then. And this is what I get my strength from. And I remember talking to the pastor that night, and the first song we sang had the words in it that said, show me a mountain he can't move. And the Lord spoke to me, and this is what he said. And I believe you can apply this to your life tonight. The Lord told me this. The same hand that inscribed the tables of stone on the mountain is the same hand that's going to move your mountain. That encouraged me. because he spoke to me personally and let me know, like I shouldn't have known, that I know right where you are, my child. And I will take care of it. What is our part? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He endured. Now, right at the end of that 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the faith chapter, verses 39 and 40. I want you to see this. Now, this is after they go on talking about all these people that were tormented and mocked and suffered scourgings and imprisonment and were stoned. They were sawn asunder, tempted. They were slain. They wandered about in sheepskins, afflicted and tormented. It says, verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Verse 39, all these, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith. You see, no matter what they faced, no matter what was happening in their life, they kept walking forward. By faith, Abraham, he took his son up the mountain, but he had enough faith to believe that if he did take his son's life, the Lord could raise him up again. By faith, Noah built that ark before he ever saw rain. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. Look what they endured. Look what they went through. And these are those that we can look to as an example in Scripture. They endured some things. And look, they obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. This something better that Scripture talks about provided for us is the promise of Hebrews 11 and 39, which entails the coming of the Messiah. That happened. He walked this earth. They didn't see it, but the next generations did. And we know what happened, and we are going to see him again by faith, believing. So the promise entails the coming of the Messiah, the new covenant, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. According to Acts 1, verses 4 and 5, we've seen that. And because of his Spirit, we are a privileged people. For the people of faith mentioned here, this promise was not fulfilled during their lifetime, but the new covenant is far superior in that it involves the incarnation wherein God himself has walked among his people, according to John 1, verses 10 and 14. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father. The Word was made flesh, verse 14, and dwelt or tabernacled among us. It happened. Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. He walked with his people. We are a privileged people. And two, the permanent forgiveness of sin based on the atonement. Not like Old Testament days where it was just rolled ahead for another year. Now, when the blood is applied to us and our sins are removed, he doesn't see them. They're as far as the east is from the west. We are a double-portioned people. We are a privileged people. And a rich and empowered life lived out in the spirit rather than by the letter of the law. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. And the promise of eternal life rather than merely a long life in the promised land here on earth. So they endured and moved on and never saw that promise, but they believed it and had the faith that they could see it. And look how good the Lord has been to us. Look where we are right now on the second day of March in the year 2022. We are on the threshold of the very one we're speaking about here is ready to come back. We are a privileged people. And so not only do we have this promise, but I want to close with this. If you'll go to John, the 17th chapter, if the musicians would come. You see, looking to Jesus, focusing on Jesus, taking your eyes off all of these other things and closing your ears to all of these other noises that want to call out. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher, looking to his word, looking at the witnesses that we are compassed about, not only in Scripture, but pew after pew after pew. We can have the faith to know, my God shall provide all of my needs according to his riches and glory. This is Jesus praying for us. How many in here feel comforted when the man of God or let's say an evangelist comes through and anoints you with oil and prays for you and God allows him to read your mail and he utters some words and you're thinking, oh, how could he possibly know that? Anybody ever walk away from the altar feeling encouraged because the Lord read your mail and someone anointed you with oil and prayed for you? Has that ever happened to anybody? We're a privileged people. And so, if that encourages you, if the great cloud of witnesses that we are surrounded by, remember in your minds the horses and chariots of fire that surrounded that little threat that wanted to scare the servant of the Almighty God and his prophet. Because right now, we're surrounded by angelic beings and the hosts of heaven and the King and King of Kings and Lord of Lords who spoke it all into existence has you and me in the palm of your hand. And way back here, he prayed for you, Brother Moran. He prayed for you, Brother Cushman. He prayed for you, Sister Carpenter. He prayed because he knew that we were going to endure some things. And that it was going to take a strength and a hand from something that far exceeded what you and I could even fathom. And Jesus said in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Remember what stepped into us? When Jesus stepped into us, grace and truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. See, we would have to endure and overcome because he had a great plan for you and I. And for their sakes, I sanctified myself. He endured that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, his disciples, those that he sent forth according to Matthew 28 and 18. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. He commanded them and sent them forth. He said, neither pray I for these alone, not just them, but for them also, which shall believe on me. How? Through their word. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords prayed for you and I, who when he stood on that day and said, he that believeth on me, how? As the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Spirit, which was not yet given, because that Christ was not yet glorified, but he would be. And he was. And he did resurrect, and they saw him. And he is coming back again for a people like you and like I, and like he spoke to us on Sunday, and for those who sit on the other side of these doors who need to hear the same thing. I don't know what your mountain is tonight. But I know there's some challenges in the building. But I also know the one that can move the mountains and take care of the challenges. We have to endure. But the Lord has given you and I the strength to persevere because of the Spirit that he has put inside us and the blood that he has washed us with and the truth that he has given us to go forth with and to apply to our own lives. Trust him tonight as you stand with me. Trust him tonight. Believe him tonight for your healing, for your solution. for the change in your situation. Can I just be a little personal and tell you that that very same Sunday that the Lord spoke with me, I was praying after service and I got up and my son-in-law, Michael, was standing behind me and he gave me a hug and he said, "Think about the things that you've prayed for in your life. And think about what's going on around you right now. Your son and your daughter-in-law are singing praises to the Lord. Your grandchildren are Bible quizzing. All those things that you can forget about and take your eyes off of when there's a situation before you." But what he told me was, how many of those things are going on because the Lord answered your prayers many years ago that you prayed? Don't ever think that he doesn't hear and that he's not going to answer. It's not about where we stand in this place or what we do, but I know that my son and my daughter are standing behind me tonight. And 15 years ago, the enemy told me that wouldn't happen. They were leaving. They were going to Alaska. They were getting out of here. Drove me crazy. But it drove me to my knees. And I am lucky enough tonight that I know that they're here. And that's my Jesus. In the Old Testament, they stacked up stones. Every time the Lord did something, they stacked up a memorial. You know what? My stones are Jesus. He's the rock. And there they are. Stack them up. Because he backs you up. He's going to take care of it. The altar's open. Would you come?